You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. July. Welcome to the house. Hope you had a nice 4th of July. Mine was pretty uneventful. I mean, there was some events, but nothing very serious on the Richter scale. So, but I'll tell you about it. First of all, I was eating oatmeal. And I don't know, I don't even know where this came from. But yeah, you know, it's you're doing something, all of a sudden you get this blast from the past. Anyway, I got one. When I was a kid, my grandfather used to eat oatmeal. I used to see that stuff. Oh my God, I thought it was just disgusting. Yeah. John Vivian Forden was my maternal grandfather. Okay, for those of you who don't know what that means, it means that he was my mother's father. Okay, to say JV, yeah, Vivian, that's the guy's name. Yeah, I'd just like to get tagged with that. I thought Francis was bad for a middle name. I would crush Vivian in grammar school. Ugh. Man, I'd have been all over him. No, I wouldn't have. Only if he, like, said something about Francis. Then I would have had to, like, drop the bomb on him. So, anywho, he was born around the turn of the century, right? Let's just say my grandfather was born in 1900. And, he was one of those guys who ran marathons when nobody was running. Okay? And when nobody was running, he was running. He was eating healthy stuff. When nobody did that. He used to row by himself, sculling, right? He used to do that. He was an accountant. he married my grandmother. Check this out. She was a student. He was a professor. What's up with that? And he wasn't very... to say he wasn't sociable is an probably an insult to every non-sociable person out there.
Yeah.
My grandfather, he was a stern man, and one of my probably my most vivid memories of him. You know, probably the only time he ever got mad at me. I spilled my milk at dinner. We were at our grandparents' house for the weekend, and spilled my milk. Reaching for it, you know? Boom. And then he yelled at my grandmother. Margaret! Yeah, my grandfather yells at my grandmother. My grandmother's, like, both my grandmothers were the two nicest ladies on the planet. And my one grandmother, his wife, Margaret, she grew up a very, very wealthy family, grew up in a convent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, went to the University of Washington and met him. And they were married for I don't know how many years. A lot. So, anyway, he yells at her, and I get up and run out of the house. And I'm a pretty buttoned-down kid, so that gives you some idea of, like, I was like, I don't know what I was doing. So then, now I know I'm in trouble. What do I do? Well, I can't surrender to him. He might kill my ass. So, and he used to wear boots, you know, like ankle top boots. I wish I could remember what they look like. I don't. But he wore wool pants.
Yeah.
You want to know why he was unpleasant? He was rolling around in wool pants all the time, for God's sakes. And he had this belt, the likes of which I'd never seen before or since. And then he would wear flannel shirts, top buttoned. And he had no hair on the top of his head. And he was a stern guy. Grew up, he went to school when he was in high school to support his family in Michigan. Moved to Alaska to get involved in the mining business, had an aptitude for accounting, so he got involved in accounting. Then he went to school for it. Then he became a professor of accounting.
Yeah.
John Vivian, no messing around, Forden was his name. So, JV, no, I never called him JV. I called him Grandpa. But, like I said, he was a stern man. So I leave the house. I don't know. I could have been 5, 6 years old. Yeah. And so I hide. They had like about 2 acres of property. I hide in the garden where we used to play. They have all these bushes in a garden out to the front by the street, and just well kept. My grandmother had orchards with irrigation pipes in it and stuff like that. We'd go help her water, you know, irrigate it and things like that. So I'm hiding in there, and they have some low bushes and stuff, and I was like a fort maker. Yeah, as a kid, I was playing Marine Corps constantly. I'd say Army because that's what I used to call it, but bothers me now if I would say that. So I was playing Marine Corps all the time. So I'm out, 6 years old. I've got my little forts that I know how to crawl into. I crawl into one of those. No way JV's finding me. And so he comes out of the house, and he's yelling, "Michael, come back here." And I'm not moving for shit, okay? Because he's mean. He's a mean guy, and I'm afraid of him. So I'm like, but I can see him. I see him come out of the front door. I see him, you know, look around. He walks around each side of the house. He yells. I'm just watching. I ain't moving. But then my grandmother comes out, and my grandmother, nicest lady in the world. She's yelling my name. "Michael, please, please come back in the house. You're not going to get in trouble." We're like, what? Okay, look at this woman doesn't lie, okay? She's a believer. She does not lie. I'm not going to get in trouble. It's like amnesty, right? So A few minutes later, I come walking in the house. And much to her credit, I didn't get in trouble. Yeah, all I do is spill my milk, for God's sake. Anyway, he used to eat oatmeal. I was eating oatmeal, and I don't know why I thought. I used to look at his oatmeal and go, oh, my God, what is that? Some brown sugar on it. But he was a healthy guy. And then he had a heart attack and survived it. And listen to this. This is what a nightmare. God, I didn't even know how I remember this. It's what a nightmare he was. So after he has his heart attack, the priest gives him the last rites, right? They're in the hospital room. They're in the hospital room. My grandmother's praying. He's given the last rites. And it's too funny. And the doctor looks at my grandmother and says, Margaret, you need to go home and get some rest. He could linger like this for days, and you need to have your wits about you, and so we'll take good care of him. You know, he may make it through the night, he may not. You know, but you need to get some rest. So she said, okay. So she went home. He survives, right? When he has his wits about him and they're alone, he looks at her and says, You abandoned me on my deathbed. Whoop! You abandoned me. I heard what the doctor said to you. You should have stayed. Oh my God. So anyway, he learns how to play the bagpipes after his heart attack. Yeah, after his heart attack. So, you know, I wish I had been older to know him a little bit more. Cause like I said, he's an intimidating guy. I didn't know him very well, and I wish I would have. So, I thought about him. The 4th of July, I'll put this up on the read board, and it'll be in the first hour post. It'll be the picture for the first hour post today. But I'm watching the Yankee game yesterday, right? So they're getting ready to start the game, blah, 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 blah. And, they say, and we have honored guests for the national anthem today, Children of Taps, all right? And for those of you who know, they're Gold Star children. So the Yankees come running out to their position, and there's all these kids, and they're wearing their tap shirt, and they go stand with the Yankees as they stand for out on the field in Yankee Stadium, right? It's sold out. They have the West Point color guard at Yankee Stadium. And then, one of the vocalists for the West Point band is going to sing the national anthem. So, you know, normal day, 4th of July, Max having a good day. And the national anthem begins. First shots, you know, you have the players standing there. I won't say at attention, but, you know, they're standing there, respectfully standing there. And you have kids with their hand over their heart. And then they change the shot. So there's kids in the infield. There's kids in the outfield, right? They change the shot from wherever it was. I think it started at home plate. Then they go to the infield. And so you see Yankee infielders standing, you know, there. And in between them, there's these kids. I want to say there's three boys. Two of them have their hand over their heart. And the one in the middle is saluting. Like he's in the military. And I'm sitting there watching the game, and it's like somebody punches me right in the heart. He looks to be between 10 and 12 years old, you know. I couldn't tell you what. And he's saluting. And if you look at the way he salutes, when you see the picture, somebody taught him, right? And I think there's only one organization that salutes the way he salutes. Elbow is 90 on a plane, 90 degrees away from your body. Direct line from your elbow to your eyebrow. And he's got it going. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching that. You know, and it, you know, for me, I mean, I get tears in my eyes. That's his salute to a dad who he doesn't know. We just all celebrate our Father's Day, right? And now when I think about this, I have Ronnie Reyes. I have his words in my head, right? I've never celebrated Father's Day. The first Father's Day I ever celebrated, I celebrated at the Vietnam Wall with other Gold Star kids that I'd connected with. I can't remember the name of the group, but I'm going to have them on at some point. And you start thinking about that. And I sat there and I watched that kid and I just thought, I'm going to track that kid down. Because I want him to know how cool that I thought it was and how appropriate I thought it was. That a lot of people, for the national anthem, it is appropriate to put your hand over your heart and stand there. For him, don't stop doing that. Because somewhere your dad is looking down on you. It might be his mom. Probably his dad, though. And he probably has the biggest smile on his face and his chest is puffed out a little bit, right? That's my guy. That's my guy. So, yeah, like a baseball bat to the chest as I'm starting to watch the picture of the Yankee game. And I'll put the pictures up, and they're incredible, right? Incredible. So, that started my day. And then I had a computer. I'll tell you, I had a computer adventure. And we'll get to the news here in a little bit, but this is my computer adventure is pretty funny. So I've got to, in retrospect, I've got to get the technology ready to take it on the road, right? So I get a laptop. Got to modify the laptop though. Got to buy additional RAM for it because the program, the audio recording and editing program, is a pretty substantial program. So I go and to buy RAM. Guy sells me the wrong stuff. So I got to go back the next day. Ultimately, I get the right stuff, right? So I get the right stuff. But anyway, I buy the wrong stuff. Now I'm going to install the wrong stuff, but I don't know it's the wrong stuff yet. So I got to take the laptop apart. So what do? Go on YouTube, do a search on, you know, my computer, you know, and I watch a video about taking it apart. I keep hearing the boom. And so I take it apart, but it's not coming apart so easily. And I thought, well, maybe it's got some like little snap in things, right? So I take out all the screws. I know I did that. And so now I'm trying to pull it apart, but it's not coming apart. And I'm like, well, what is this? Are this like some kind of tongue and groove thing? And you have to put a little bit more pressure on it. So I do that. And so then it starts coming, you know, apart, and ultimately boom, it comes apart. So that's when I found out the kind of RAM that I had bought was not correct. It was incorrect. Not good RAM. I need DDR4. This was DDR3. Yeah. So I had that going on. Anywho, so I ultimately got to go back to the store, not once, but twice to get the right stuff. Second guy sells me the wrong stuff, too. He says, oh, all RAM is the same. It's not. Okay. So I go back, finally get the right stuff, put it, and before I put it in, I just want to make sure that, you know, that I'm doing everything right. So I watch, I go look at, I find another video that I hadn't watched the first time. I probably watched two or three. This guy's video says, you know, it's just pictures, unscrew all these things, unscrew all these things, unscrew all these things. And then the first video, as I said, I watched and then they just popped it apart. This guy flips, after he does that, he flips the computer over. He pops the keyboard out, like uses a guitar pick, and there's a couple little grooves. The guitar pick goes into each one, pops the keyboard out, right? Which is just a little plastic insert. Pops the keyboard out, and I'm watching going, ruh-roh. I didn't do that. Didn't see that. And then it says, there's five more screws here. I went, what? What? So what happened was it had five screws in it. That stuff that I thought was like, oh, little snap and things. No, those were plastic pieces that I busted apart to open up my computer. So I'm looking at it going, oh, my God. They're not necessary, though. They'll all go back together. Those 9 or 10 screws on the bottom of the computer, they hold it together. Like, what's the deal with these five screws? So, yeah, anyway, all's well that ends well. So I look at it going, oh, my God, what did I do? So I look. I'm like, yeah, I'm still okay. Put the RAM in, put it all back together, boom, and it all worked. Yeah, yeah. So that was my next, that was my through-the-day adventure. And so be careful. Be careful. If it doesn't come apart easily, there's probably another issue. Go back and start watching more YouTube videos. So that would be my advice to you. And then last night I had to endure Jack losing his mind as the fireworks got shot off. And throughout the course of the day, I was saying, you know, there hasn't been that many. You know, did they change the ordinance around here? Is there not that many? Good God, man. They were everywhere around here last night. And louder and closer than I've ever heard them. Jack losing his mind. And this is one of my failings as a human being. I'm okay with that stuff to a certain point. After we get to the certain point, I'm not okay with it anymore. It's like, dude, you need to suck it up and like knock this crate. And don't tell me about the Snuggie thing and all the rest of that. I mean, look, it's not like, what's the anxiety over? Loud noises? Come on, this has been going on annually for all 9 years of its life. And it's awful. Just absolutely awful. The worst part, though, is, you know, if your dog's got bad breath, or not even bad breath, but just dog breath, and they're panting, right? Ugh. So I had to close all the windows in the house, fire up the air conditioner, turn on the TV louder, all those intermediate steps. Nothing helped. So that was my 4th of July. That was my 4th of July, full of adventure, straight up full of adventure. So good morning to you. We'll check the news. And here's an email. Was he a curmudgeon? No, I would never call him a curmudgeon. Because he was my grandfather. He was a stern man. When I hear people try to describe their stern, austere, no-nonsense grandparents, and my grandmother was one of them, the term curmudgeon comes to mind. According to the dictionary, it means a bad-tempered or surly person. I wouldn't necessarily say my grandmother was bad-tempered, but I would say that I never wanted to get on her bad side. But I love her and miss her and wish she was still around. Yeah, curmudgeon, I don't know. It seems to me has editorial content to it. That I would not refer to him as a curmudgeon. I'd refer to him as my grandfather. Yep. We had a grandma, and then we had a grandmother. That woman, she was the grandmother. Margaret was the grandmother. Josie was grandma. Grandma and grandmother. He was my grandfather. I didn't know my paternal grandfather. He passed away in 1944. John, no middle initial, McNamara. Yeah. Fought in World War One though. Came to the United States at the age of 16, I think, by himself. Had a couple of brothers that were in the country. But, yeah, said, I've had enough of this Irish stuff. I'm out. Got on. Yeah, can you imagine your 16-year-old who you won't let go anywhere, who has to text you everything? Yeah, I'm going on an ocean liner. I'm going to America. I'm out. So there you have it, yeah. So, yeah, I would not Here's another one. Hey, Matt, good morning. Vivian is way more manly than Francis. Vivian is straight up more feminine. It's like Marion. I had a football coach when I was in elementary school named Marion. Yeah. Like, who tags their kid with that stuff? Oh, and here's the answer you tended to get. Oh, their family names. Wow. Okay, their family names. But you want to have your kid answering for that forever? Every time they take attendance, your kid has to answer to guys like Brian Delaney in my class. Yeah, and he's doing that for that stupid ass mule that Donald O'Connor made movies with. Yeah, Francis the talking mule. Yeah, send that guy to the glue factory. John Vivian Forden. He slept on a Chase lounge when he was in high school working, supporting his family before he went to Alaska. He was hard. He was hard as woodpecker lips on my I'm not going to lie to you. He had a, he raised pigeons, you know, and he'd tag their leg and off they'd go and stuff like that. And he had a pigeon coop, so he'd take us out. You want to help feed the pigeons? Yes, Grandpa. So off we'd go, feed the pigeons with my grandpa. And we'd go in the chicken coop. And if, you know, there was a pigeon that had a, you know, some kind of mutation. It's not how we do it in the show pigeon business, right? And so he would take them, right? And he would, like, wring their neck. We were just little kids. Can't have this one. Grab it by the neck. Poor little pigeon dead. Like, what? Fuck, yeah. Yeah, so they had about 2 acres. They raised a lot of their own vegetables, squash. My grandmother made, she was a great cook. Great, like the cherry pie that I make, that is absolutely incredible. It's my grandmother's recipe. She could crush it. The first color TV I ever saw was at their house. And I want to say, the color TV shows were back in the day. They were Walt Disney, because Tinkerbell would go pee with their wand and everything turned to color, right? If I'm not mistaken. And then Bonanza was in color too. Yep. So, I used to drive the car I drove in high school was one my grandfather bought. 1953 Ford Mainline. Yeah, do a search for that. Google that. Hey, Google. Ford Mainline. Check it out. I drove that car in high school in 1976. And I drove not the souped-up cool version, but I drove the, like, there was like a main line. There's a few different versions of it. And the thing was, it was a monstrosity. Absolute monstrosity. And it was the bottom of the line. He bought the bottom of the barrel car. And I might put a picture of it up. I just found one. And there's some nice ones. Ours wasn't nice. There was no radio in it. The plate, it was just metal, right? It was just three in the tree, six-cylinder flathead engine. And so where there was supposed to be a clock and where there was supposed to be the radio, nothing. Just the plate still in. Just the plate still in there. He's rolling around with no radio. Yeah, my grandfather. But the good part about that, that thing was gigantic, right? I could get all my friends in there. The doors would fly open. The passenger side door flew open all the time. And I'd do it on purpose, too, getting on the freeway and stuff like that, make it fly open. My friends would be screaming. I'd just, yeah, it's not like we weren't wearing seat belts. It was a good time. It was a good time. And so, yeah, my grandfather. But Vivian, no way Vivian is more masculine than Francis, right? See, Vivian and Marion, they're both spelled the same, if I'm not mistaken, as their female counterparts. Vivian, only one way to spell that thing. I believe there's two ways. So if we go on male-female names, yeah, a unisex name. Addison, Alexis, Layton. Marion's not even listed in there anymore. How about Vivian? Vivian's not listed. Vivian is. V-I-V-I-A-N. See, Vivian is the most feminine. Marion, I believe, M-A-R-I-A-N, is the female version. Marion for the guy is M-A-R-I-O-N. At least it has a differentiation between, you know, the female version. Okay, so Francis, F-R-A-N-C-E-S for a woman. F-R-A-N-C-I-S. Yeah. Is the name Marion for male or female? Yeah. See, this stuff is like new. People got issues because of these kind of names. Because these kind of names and people like me. That's right. So again, on the Richter scale of femininity associated with your name, Vivian, same name, male, female, no bueno. Marion and Francis both differentiate between male and female. So you got a leg up on that. All right. So with all that important stuff out of the way, you know what? I will say this. If you concentrate too much on current politics, you'll be unhappy. And I've started to focus less on that and more on this crazy great culture that we have in the Marine Corps and the good things people do and things like that. Because, again, what on a nightly basis, what you see on TV news is not what's news in America. It's just crazy. Crazy crap that they'll get people to listen to. So yesterday, what? Lead story or near the lead story, right? Should have been heat across the country. Big story. Probably was a protester. I didn't watch the news. I'm just saying. Probably was a protester at the Statue of Liberty to shut the Statue of Liberty down on the 4th of July. Now, think about this. Before 24-hour news cycle, where would that have been? Where would you have read that? It would have been one of those small box stories, you know, deep in your newspaper. Some little anecdote that they saw. Yeah, crazy person tried to climb the Statue of Liberty and was arrested. That's but now, no, it's the news tip on its head, right? Those small box stores, those now lead the news because they're the crazy people. So I think you're better off staying away from it. Staying away from it. Because you can go, you know where to find it if you need news. Shut it off. Like the NFL, shut it off. I want to watch the NFL because my team's going to be better this year, but I don't think they're going to take care of that national anthem thing, which means I'm not going to be able to watch. So I'm not happy about that. They have everything at their disposal to have an impact. So their players feel like, hey, we're having a say. I don't need to do this. But I don't know if that's the agenda anymore. So we'll see. I'll keep my fingers crossed, though. Anyway, United States Marine Corps Band makes it official today. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. 242 years old. Oh, I also read about Little Round Top. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. So we'll open the program. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the little kid I saw yesterday, the young man I saw yesterday, between the ages of, I don't know, 10 and 12, 11 and 13, who busted off that salute in Yankee Stadium, and to all the kids of TAPS, who every time we celebrate a holiday or something, they do it without their father, who died, or mother, died serving their nation. So this is to that kid, whoever he is, and I'm going to find out who he is. So anyway, this is dedicated to him.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
for this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so the young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make a jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You gotta win.
/7:47 on the west coast of the United States. That means it's 10:40. 7:47? No, it's not. 7:45. Sorry. Like, it came out of my mouth. I was like, that's not what it says. It happens. Come on. Currently sunny 86 in Quantico. My grandson Finn out crushing it yesterday. Checking out the fireworks. Is there anything cooler than little kids and fireworks, little kids and Christmas? No, just the look of wonder that they get when they, you know, when they're little and they watch that stuff. When it's easy to please them. Yeah, very cool. Sunny 86 in Quantico, where Finn lives. Camp Lejeune, partly cloudy in 86. Granbury, Texas, has cooled off a little bit, not much. Clouds in 79. Big Timber, Montana, is sunny and 61 early in the day. 29 Palms, sunny and 81 with a weather advisory in the 29 Palms area. An excessive heat warning in effect for 29 Palms, as well as a local pollen alert. High in 29 Palms today, 106. Friday, 109. Got that going for you. Kemp Pendleton, they've got two weather advisories in effect. A heat advisory until the 6th of July at 9 p.m. and a high surf advisory. So if you're not familiar with the surf, don't go out doing stupid stuff. Okinawa has four weather advisories. A high wave advisory, a thunderstorm advisory, heavy rainfall advisory, and a gale advisory. So a little bit of weather around Okinawa. Dark, cloudy, and 80 degrees. In Marj, Afghanistan, it is sunny late in the day and 99 degrees. Marj has pretty standard temperatures this time of year, 108, 110. But pretty nice, as a matter of fact, because it can do more there. And so you're happy when it shows some restraint. At the home of All Marine Radio, partly sunny and 65 degrees right now on this Thursday morning. Heat advisory. Yeah. Hello. Heat advisory in effect until Saturday, July 7th. A high surf advisory and a small craft advisory. So that means the emergency folks are going to be busy around in Southern California. See, this is why this is bad. Heat sends people on vacation where? To the beach. That's right. And then you have a high surf advisory. You know what that means? Ugh. A heat advisory is in effect from 10 a.m. Friday to 9 p.m. Saturday. National Weather Service in San Diego has issued a heat advisory, which is in effect from 10 a.m. Friday to 9 p.m. Saturday. heat watch is no longer in effect. High temperatures from areas inland to the beach and near high terrain, 94 to 102 on Friday and 88 to 96 on Saturday. So that's hot. That's hot. When I'll tell you what, when you're relatively near the coast, which means west of Interstate 5 or west of the 405, and you're hitting 90, that means it's over 110 inland, and that means it's hot. So there you have it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Thank you.
All right. If you look at the website now, you will find that. Let me just make sure it's up there. That's what I was doing though. Remember, anytime you hear extended bumper music, that means something's gone. It didn't go wrong. I just wanted to. I got a couple emails and said, "Hey, put that thing up. I want to see it." So if you go to the website, then go to the read board, you'll see it. It says taps at Yankee Stadium, a 4th of July salute from a Gold Star Sun. Awesome. If you and go to the click on the entry, and then why aren't the images bigger? I'm going to have to make the images bigger. Okay, I'll do that when I set the whole thing up later. But you'll get to see the pictures. And it's cool. You'll get to see the salute's locked on. Okay? Salute's locked on. You got a couple little things to work on the salute. So, but no, I did this, actually, it's ironic that the last time I did it, it was about Yankee. It was something that had gone on in Yankee Stadium too. It was this thing called the Prayer for New York, and it was after September 11th. I want to say it was on September 22nd. So 10 days, you know, not quite 2 weeks after, you know, the attacks in Manhattan. And I was watching this thing, and I saw a guy sing a song, and and I'll play it here. Here it is. I want you to listen to the song, and I'm gonna. You may have heard it before, but if you can remember back, nobody knew we were going to war. You know what was going to happen. This happened in Yankee Stadium. This is the Boys and Girls Choir of Harlem singing We Shall Overcome, but it's the soloist that rocked me that day.
We shall live in peace.
Same kind of thing. That guy's name is Terrence Greer, I think. And so I saw this thing. I was waiting for football games to Oprah Winfrey was, she was the MC. Yeah, it gives you an idea of the significance of that. Anyway, so I was waiting for football to come on, so I was, I was channel surfing and doing nothing, I don't think. And I saw this, like, Yankee Stadium, like, what's that about? Yeah, Yankee Stadium, I got to check that out. So, not baseball season. Well, it was in September, wasn't it? So anyway, I put a bigger picture of it up, so you'll get to see. Awesome. So anyway... Yeah, just go to the read board page, and you'll see it. Click on that, and you'll see the bigger image as well. And then what I'll do is I'll find a way to hyperlink it. But what I had to do, so anyway, I just started watching this thing, and what it was a service for all the different families that had lost somebody, and they had somebody from every religious denomination in New York City and the surrounding area come. And you had the governor, you had Hillary Clinton, was senator from New York, was there. Chuck Schumer was there. Bill Clinton was there sitting next to his wife. You had Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City, right? We all liked him then. He wasn't the crazy man that he is now, rolling around the world, saying stupid stuff. So... And I don't know how much of the stadium, over half the stadium had people in it. Stadium holds about 48,000 people. Yeah, so that's how big the service was. And so you had, I want to say, he's a tenor. Placido Domingo sings Ave Maria. Bette Midler sings You Are the Wind Beneath My Wings. Lee Greenwood sings Proud to Be an American. You know, see, I mean, yeah. And in the middle of it, this guy stands up and sings We Shall Overcome. And in particular, when he sings We Are Not Afraid. Right here. And let me tell you about it. We Shall Overcome is you hear Oprah Winfrey referred to as an African-American national anthem. It has about 1 million verses. And in the interview I did with him, he talked about the choir director who's been there forever. He looked like he'd be in his late 50s or 60s, been there for a long time. They were looking at different verses, you know, well, what about this, what about this? And then I can't remember which one said, no, here it is. And they both, I can't remember, he said he looked at it, and they both said, that's it. That's the one that we solo with. And so, but what I want you to listen to is listen to the reaction of the people. These are all dependents that have lost somebody. And approximately 10 days before that, most of them didn't have a body. And so they went to this service. And so when you listen in the background to the reaction when he sings, We Are Not Afraid.
Oh! not uproot.
So I tracked him down. I called the Boys and Girls Club of Harlem, and I said, hey, I introduced myself. I said, I want to talk to that kid who did that solo. And they said, oh, my God. I can't remember the woman on the phone. She said, oh, my God. She said, was that incredible or what? I said, yeah. I said, who is he? And she said, he's one of the, he helps with the choir. He, you know, he sings professionally and he helps with the choir. You know, he's from Harlem. So he grew up performing with us, and then he's gone on to do other things. And so I left him a message. He called me, and then I brought him on the show. And he said, you know, he told a story about how they chose the verse. I said, how did you keep your concentration when you heard the reaction? And he said, I almost had to stop because I was – how did he say it? He said, as a performer, you know, to perform at an event like that is something that you dream about, something that will mean something to people. And then creatively, he said, you know, that in retrospect, we were so right in choosing that because, you know, with everything that's happened and all the uncertainty, you know, we're Americans, and in a crisis, you know, we do what Americans always do, which is band together and face it and do it in a way that we're not afraid. And he said, to hear the reaction, he said, I just had to focus on singing because if I did not, he said, I'd have lost it. So it's very, very cool. So, yeah, you see, if you go to the Read Board and you look at the pictures, there's two pictures. One, there's three little boys, and there was girls there. They just weren't in the shot when, this young guy was saluting. And so they're standing there in their tap shirts and they're standing between, Neil Walker, who played second base, who was playing second base for the Yankees yesterday, and their shortstop, Didi Gregorius. And so the three boys are standing there, and there's two pictures. I would imagine I'd love to get pictures of their fathers because I would imagine you could see their fathers in every one of their faces. And they're good-looking little guys with good haircuts, and they're staring at the flag. And then he's got this salute going. One has a button of it with a picture of his dad on it. Actually, two of them do. And so. Very, very cool stuff. Anyway, for whatever reason, that stuff affects me. With that said, we'll check the news headlines. But no, they're really cool interviews. So I'll contact Taps and see if they'll contact the family and would he want to come on All Marine Radio and talk about why he saluted and, you know, going to Yankee Stadium and being on the field. And that was, what was that like? You know, find out a little bit something about his dad and just tell him, don't ever stop doing that. Right. It doesn't matter if everybody else in the world has their hand over their heart. You keep saluting because it's awesome. An awesome salute to his dad. New stories. NATO allies defend military spending. Supposedly, the president's going to Europe to talk defense and NATO, and he's going to carry a familiar message, and that is, and this was the headline yesterday. We're not your piggy bank. That's going to be the headline. And again, it's legitimate, right? Germany does not have a military because the United States guarantees its existence. The United States taxpayer funds Germany's defense. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Germany needs to do more. And so I'm, you know, I talk about this on a regular basis. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but if it's not, if it doesn't, if you don't meet 2%, which is the NATO goal, then I guess it applies to you. If you're at or near it, then it probably that criticism doesn't apply to you. But I will tell you this, when you have people like Germany that aren't even close to it, then that's an issue. German Defense Minister Ursula von der Leyen said Tuesday that we stand by the 2% goal we set. She added that we're on the path to get there, and we're prepared to take substantial responsibility within the alliance. You can't. You don't have the military. When faced with suggestions that such German explanations for not spending 2% of GDP yet might not make an impression on Trump, she retorted, we don't want to impress anyone. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. The president's stance on this issue is similar to his stance that he took in a statement in a letter to the president of Belgium. Trump said in the letter, quote, it will become increasingly difficult to justify to American citizens why some countries continue to fail to meet our shared collective security commitments. And again, why are we more interested in your defense than you are in your own defense? So anyway, that in the news. So it'll be interesting. And again, when he first made that criticism, oh, he's trying to rip NATO apart, he's trying to do this. No, if you see the threat, then I think it's pretty clear that you need to do something about it. And the way you do that and the way you ensure peace is that you're strong. And the way that you're strong is you devote money to your readiness. So, pretty amazing, honestly. Pretty amazing. The other story, the world loves stories about dog, military guy and dog reunions. Yeah. They're, for whatever reason, when there is one, it's national news. Dog reunited. Great pictures. And let me tell you, which is some, again, back in the day when we used to read newspapers, where would that story have been? It would have been, you know, small box story, local, maybe tidbits or something like that. Now it's going to wind up on the front of a website. You want to know why? Clickable. People love dog stories. They love animal stories. And reunification stories absolutely go bonkers over. So that makes the cut. Which again shows you, is it news? What's news? Whatever they want? Interesting. Two stories. One, you haven't seen too many headlines out of the Secretary of Defense's trip to China. Why not? Why not, he says. Why not? I don't know. I would be a little bit curious to find out why there's no greater story coming out of his trip to China than some of the stuff we've already seen. So anyway, file that one. Doubts on North Korean denuclearization, Shadow Pompeo visit. So the Secretary of State, you know, from the United States is in North Korea. A leaked U.S. intelligence report and an analysis of satellite data suggests that the North may be continuing its nuclear and missile activities despite a pledge to denuclearize. So, Mike Pompeo in North Korea, and so we'll see if all this is an elaborate ruse to play Donald Trump. I just as things go, I don't know that I would go down that road. So interesting. So the Secretary of State there looking to follow up on the Singapore on the Singapore summit, obviously. And in the other article, probably the most concerning article I've read, headline: Why the future of the military order of the Purple Heart is at risk. For more than 85 years, the Military Order of the Purple Heart has united veterans wounded in combat, a fraternity literally forged in blood. The charity's focus and crown jewel is the National Service Program, which helps veterans of all stripes navigate the bureaucracy involved in filing a benefits claim with the Department of Veterans Affairs. The program bankrolls dozens of caseworkers nationwide and submitted more than 12,000 VA claims in fiscal 2017. Obtaining nearly $214 million benefits along the way, according to the nonprofit organization. They don't know how to deal with the VA, says Ron Schiebels, an order member who was wounded in Vietnam. We go to bat for them. But the vital mission and the pending VA claims of an untold number of veterans were thrown into disarray in April when the order announced the program would end as of June 30th. A press release blamed the Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation, also known as the Purple Heart Foundation, a sister entity that is tasked with raising funds for the order. The foundation funds the order via annual grants, and the National Service Program offers a service that veteran advocates say is already in short supply. They failed us, Neil Van Ess, the order's national commander, said at the time, but a few weeks later the program's cancellation was reversed and the order issued statements that said the vital program would continue at a reduced funding level. Whatever the reason for the reversal, the about-face and the diminished level of funding offer the latest glimpse into the charity's troubled financial state. The foundation has been hemorrhaging money in recent years, according to its annual tax filings, imperiling the order's ability to continue its vital work. Hemorrhaging money how? It reported losing nearly $2 million in fiscal 2016 and $5.2 million in fiscal 2017, according to its records. While the foundation's tax filing show it losing millions, those records also show its public support nearly doubling in recent years from about $16 million to $16 million in 2012 to $31 million in 2016. The reasons for the discrepancies remain unclear. The foundation's highest-paid employee, CEO Steve Ruckman, did not respond to repeated requests for comments and emails questioned from Military Times. His compensation has increased over the years from about $150,000 in 2010 to nearly $215,000 as of 2017, according to tax filing. The order and the foundation have existed for decades, but critics say the foundation leadership is too tied to outdated fundraising plans that lose money, including used car and household good donations. Another public service program run by the order has been cut in recent years as well, critics say, and a generational divide has risen among order members who spilled their blood in different American wars. The foundation reported raising $24.9 million overall in fiscal year 2017, but the organization only kept about $8.5 million, with the rest going to pay fundraisers it hired, according to records. Holy shit. Anyway, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, and this is a sick business. And what's sick about it is you have people using brands like the Purple Heart, like Wounded Warrior, to raise a ton of money, and then a ever diminishing amount of that money getting to be used for its intended purpose. Top rated charities generally spend 75% or more of their budget on programs and less than 25% on fundraising and other costs, she said. The Purple Heart Foundation, she said, spends just 25% on actual programs and it cost $89 to raise $100. That's incredibly high. Oh, man. This stuff sucks. It makes you crazy. You know, it makes you crazy. So what you have is you have people raising money that are keeping 75% of the money raised to pay themselves. It was a problem with Wounded Warrior, by the way. Right? They got involved in it too. And so it's icky. It's not good. So that's in the news today. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We'll talk. Check the top five stories in the early bird. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this program next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
8:25. Gunnar going to join us in about 40 minutes. Email. I have goosebumps everywhere listening to this right now. Yeah, if you remember, after September 11th, that song sounds different. And you think back of where the country was then. And it was just one of those things that I bought the, actually, I have that DVD. And I actually purchased it from PBS. And they sent it to me in the mail. I was fired up. I've kept it, and I'll bust it out when it's appropriate. And I'm trying to find one of the other pieces of it. I do this. This happens to me all the time where I can't find an audio file. And it just irritates the living hell out of me. And it was a thing called Prayer for New York, and I don't know, and I don't know where the hell I try to remember it, but there's a thing that a guy named Calvin Butts does. He's a Oprah Winfrey knows him and introduces him as the Reverend Dr. Calvin Butts, and pretty amazing little piece of audio, Prayer for New York City. We shall overcome. That's not the one I want, though. This now has irritated me. All right, I can't find it. It was one of those events that totally out of the blue, and And then he gets up there and he just rips it. He talks about what it is to be American and blah, 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 blah. I'll find it. I'll play it for you. I've been that way since, things that move me, and now life is cooler because you can go find them, You can go listen to Lou Gehrig's speech the anniversary of that was yesterday. I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. And he had ALS. Now known as Lou Gehrig's disease. So I've always been, I don't know, a softy in terms of that kind of stuff. When I was younger, I tried to fake it, it didn't bother me, but it would reach out and it would grab me. And I paid attention. And, here's another email. Soft heart. Mac, even Marines have soft hearts. I believe the older we get, the softer the heart. Semper Fi. I probably would agree with that. But I've always been like that. I read, if you read Flags of Our Fathers, those guys come back from Iwo Jima, and one of the most difficult emotional things that they do is they meet the mothers of the guys who didn't make it, of the seven of them, I believe, that raised the flag. Three survive, four do not, and the four mothers show up in Philadelphia, and they say, they come into this ballroom, and here are their friends, mothers, and their friends are dead, and they just, every one of them loses it. And so, I don't know, there's, to me, it's almost like the holy of holies that you go into. What that, you know, that little kid salute, right, he's being the son that he thinks, he's doing what his dad, he thinks his dad would want him to do, right? And who taught him that? His mother. His mother probably taught him that and said, no, you salute. It's what your dad would have told you to do. So that's what you do. You salute. And to me, it's this reminder of our better angels. It's a reminder of what the nation is. It's not what it is. I mean, you look at the shortstop of the Yankees in the picture. He's not from the United States. He's standing there with his hand over his heart. You know, I mean, and so it's this thing that is America that is good and the people are good. And but, you know, I was thinking about the show on Tuesday about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. What would they say if Jefferson came back? Right. And you woke him up. Like, oh, man, that was rough. How long have I been asleep? About 200 years. Whoa, what? Yeah. I think he died in 1820 or something like that. Anyway, so Jefferson wakes up. What would he say? What would he say to the notion of professional politicians? What would he say to the notion of politicians that don't come together to solve issues? They come together to make a lot of money, and then they leave the people's issues hanging and the nation hanging, and they don't do it. What would he say to that? You know, what would he say to that? I was saying, for whatever reason, I was thinking about that yesterday, you know? So if you had Adams and Hamilton and Jefferson and Ben Franklin, you know, the men who influenced those documents in this experiment that is the United States, what if they came back today? They were smart guys, right? And businessmen. Although all weren't always smart businessmen. What would they say to this notion of the United States? What would they say? I think they would probably take Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and throw whoever else you want to throw in terms of Democratic leadership. You could throw Hillary Clinton back in there, Bernie Sanders. Get them all in the room, and they'd say, like, what are you guys doing? At the end of the day, this whole system's designed for you to compromise, and you're not doing those things anymore. And I'm curious, could you explain why you think it's good for the nation to be run like this? I don't understand. Yeah, I think it'd be pretty interesting to hear that conversation with, you know, guys who are substantive people of their time looking at what the democracy's become and saying, what? So, anyway, but I've always had a bit of a soft heart. Yeah, the Marine Corps veneer. Pff, yeah, when I see that kind of stuff, pff, yeah, crushes my heart. So, anyway, the few stories in the early bird today. Number one story, it's pretty surprising, and that is this. Report: Camp Pendleton officials skipped water radiation tests. And you hear that, you're thinking, what? Officials at Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, California, failed to test base water radiation over the final two quarters of 2017, according to a water report obtained by military.com. Although never considered to be at an unsafe level, the base's water supply had been found to contain radiation levels 3 points above the acceptable contamination level in early 2017. An official with the State Water Board told military.com. The report was issued late last month. Typically, gross alpha and uranium tests are conducted every 3 years, Water Board official Wei Chang said in an email. When a test has failed, the test frequency is increased. Gross alpha tests measure the overall radioactivity in drinking water. Based on the first quarter 2017 results, gross alpha monitoring for this well was triggered to once every quarter starting the second quarter of 2017. Although the base conducted and passed the required test in the second quarter, it failed to run the test again over the final half of the year. The oversight was caused by a miscommunication, base official said. Stupid, right? Stupid, stupid, stupid. And what's most concerning about it is what recently there was a report about drinking water issues around the country at military bases. You would think, given the Camp Lejeune stuff that's gone on for years, that the Marine Corps would be pretty tight, whether it's a requirement to test or not. Go out there and do the test, okay? We need to be transparent, and we need to have these things up, and we need to test, have a rigorous testing program, right? And so we'll test every quarter. Why? To make sure people know that we're on our job and they could have confidence in it. Do you think they have confidence in it now? No. Second headline, China launches two destroyers with technology similar to U.S. Navy Aegis system. I have this to say about that. Well, what did you expect them to do once they stole all the technology? Put it in the safe and not use it? No shit. Congratulations. Right? Congratulations, all you cyber people. Well done. They have our latest technology. Number three, Air Force cancels remaining light attack experiment flights, but effort will continue. The U.S. Air Force will not conclude the flying portion of its light attack experiment after a June 22nd aircraft resulted in the death of the pilot, a senior official announced Tuesday, though the aircraft development will still go forward. Four, NATO allies defend military spending amid Trump criticism. To be honest with you, I think the criticism is aimed squarely at Angela Merkel. A Merkel, as she's known on the show. And Germany. Freeloading Germany. Who is supposed to assume, crisis response responsibilities for NATO. With what? Joke. Five, tightening chest and tingling fingers. Why are the military's fighter pilots getting sick? So this has been an ongoing issue for months. So continuing in the news. I always like to go down to the commentary section, right? A few interesting stories. One in Stars and Stripes. Analysis. Ex-NATO commander. Trump's disdain for U.S.-led alliances leads to new and dangerous situations. I don't think he has disdain for them. I think he simply wants our partners to do their share. Is that disdain? Or are you an apologist for a weakening alliance that we're going to pay for in spite of the members not wanting to pay for it themselves? This is by John Van Diver, Stars and Stripes. Growing doubt about President Trump's commitment to U.S.-led NATO alliance and concerns about a looming summit with Vladimir Putin could weaken the security pact cloud. Joke. The alliance is at a moment of high tension. Something is new and dangerous, said retired U.S. Admiral James Stavridis, I think is how you pronounce the name. He writes on a regular basis. frequent writer on things political and things American, and that whole political military realm. He served for 4 years as NATO's supreme allied commander in Europe. All right. Stars and Stripes interviewed him. Quote, "What is different now is the obvious antipathy, which feels deeply personal on the part of the U.S. president towards the alliance in general and some of the key leaders in particular." President Trump's biggest complaint is that much of the 29-nation alliance isn't doing enough to increase defense spending to 2%, as agreed upon in 2014. Although Germany agreed to hike defense spending 80% by 2025, that would equal about 1.5% of its GDP, not even close to 2%. Quote, "The United States continues to devote more resources to the defense of Europe when the continent's economy, including Germany's, are doing well and security challenges abroad. This is no longer sustainable for us," Trump wrote to Angela Merkel of Germany last month, according to the New York Times. However, there is little domestic interest in pouring funds into the German military, and politicians who advocate it risk being seen as a lackey for the American president, who is deeply unpopular in Germany. Retired Lieutenant General Ben Hodges, who commanded the United States Army in Europe until 2017. Quote, "Germany is our essential ally, our most important ally, but it seems like we are kicking them in the ass all the time," Hodges said. "I don't think it is the right approach. Certainly they need to do more. But I think we need to be more sophisticated in how we incentivize burden sharing." You know what? Again, we have general officers who are nothing more than glorified yes men. Oh, really? So how long has this gone on? For decades. We're more interested in Germany's defense than Germany is? Why is that? And yeah, they're going to get to 1.5% in 2025. Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. 7 years from now, they're going to get to 1.5, but they're supposed to get to 2%. So who's paying for Germany's defense? You are. We need more German trains, not German tanks. Stavridi said, "Across-the-board spending increases in NATO in recent years were long overdue and should be viewed as progress. But, and I quote, it will not go fast enough to satisfy Donald Trump, and the anger and petulance will probably increase." I don't know. I think a lot of these people, they get it is the political process, okay? And America for decades has sat on its hands, you know, dropped these little hints, and then we've gone back in our corner and we stood there. And while nothing's been done, we've done that with China, we've done that with NATO. Right? So, so when you have Donald Trump who says, I'm not having it. You're taking advantage of us both in trade and defense. Carry your own weight. Trade with us fairly. I'm not sure. I don't know. So is that usurping the world order? The United States is the piggy bank as well as the defender of all these nations. Is that right? Can the playing field not be made more level? And then you have generals that get out there and say, oh, this is dangerous. What, to your cocktail party circuit? What's dangerous is people like you that don't speak out that these things need to change, and Germany getting to 1.5% in 2025 is a joke. Okay? Germany, the biggest economy on the continent. And again, you can be a pacifist as long as your older brother is there. Right? As long as your older brother's there to guarantee your freedom. As soon as your older brother goes away, shit changes. China's military reforms aimed at offshore expansion according to Communist Party documents. Pretty interesting story in the Japan Times. The dateline is Taipei, Taiwan. China's military reforms are aimed at expanding its military might from the traditional focus on land territories to maritime influence to protect the nation's strategic interests in a new era, according to an internal reader of China's Central Military Commission documents obtained by the Kyoto News. If the reforms progress, the reader points to intensifying friction with neighboring countries, including Japan in the Far East and South China Sea and elsewhere. It also suggests the willingness of China to overtake the United States in military strength. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. Again, the headline is China's military reforms aimed at offshore expansion, Communist Party documents say. So, yeah, you can, and again, you can find that if you do a little search on Japan Times, you'll find the article. Pretty interesting. And, and then we'll go stop by real quick to Stars and Stripes, where no review of DoD news is complete without stopping there. Top of the fold headline, binge eating, other disorders are up among service members. Eating disorder diagnosis among military personnel are up 26% over a five-year period, according to a new military study that suggests the actual incidence of such illnesses is even higher. Another headline, disabled Marine neighbors at odds over his 20 support chickens. Yeah, if you need 20 support chickens, you might be in violation of your homeowners association agreement. Yeah. Okinawa politicians want Marines charged with attempted murder over a stray bullet. Politicians in Japan's southernmost prefecture, Okinawa, want a U.S. general and other troops charged with attempted murder over a June 21st incident in which a stray bullet allegedly strayed out of Marine Corps firing range and struck a farm shed. How about that? A criminal complaint was filed Monday with the Okinawa Prefecture Police in Naha by 9 legislators. It seeks to charge 3MEF Expeditionary Force Commander Lieutenant Lawrence Nicholson, otherwise known as Larry, Camp Smedley Butler's headquarters and support battalion commander Colonel William Perdue, and a group of unidentified Marines who were training at the time of the incident with destruction of property and attempted murder. This incident happens in Japan and on Japanese soil. We should be able to apply Japanese law and bring justice. Not according to Ichiro Miyagi, a member of the Social Democratic Party, one of the complaint's 9 signatories. So there you have it. Stray round, most likely a ricochet. There's another story, and these kind of stories are, I don't know, it's like, who does this, all right? Who does this kind of stuff? But again, there's garbage everywhere. The headline is, bank restores stolen funds to 112-year-old man, the oldest living World War II veteran in the United States. Dallas, Bank of America has restored funds stolen from a 112-year-old veteran. His name is Richard Overton, according to his family. Overton, a World War II veteran who lives in Austin and the oldest living veteran in the United States, learned his bank account had been drained on Friday. His third cousin, Volma Overton, said the family was shocked when the bank called and asked them to come in and sign for the restored funds. "Man, I teared up," he said. "I couldn't believe it. They made it happen." The executive of the company said he'd take care of this, and he took care of it. A Bank of America spokeswoman confirmed Wednesday that the bank was investigating the issue and had credited Overton's account. Austin police were also investigating, along with federal authorities. Everyone wants to get to the bottom of this. I don't think it's going to be long before we know, said Bulma Overton. The money wasn't the only thing stolen from Richard Overton, his cousin said. His identity was stolen as well. Someone set up a bogus account, got his social security number, and accessed his personal checking account. His bank account wasn't tied to his GoFundMe account, which funds his in-home care. That campaign has raised more than $430,000 since it was launched in December 2016, but a large portion of that has been spent. The funds go towards his medical care. Overton requires 24-hour care, and four caretakers switch off between 12-hour shifts. Wow. That's a lot of money, though. That's almost $500,000. I don't know. $500,000? Like, I know that care's not cheap, but why does that make me... Why is that giving me the heebie-jeebies? All right, I just checked real quick on U.S. Naval Institute news, because I like to check that. Marines Navy evaluating Air Force light attack aircraft experiment. So USNI News normally has good stuff. The and we talked about this in the wake of a crash. The Air Force has decided not to continue with the manned portion of the program. The Marine Corps and the Navy are also studying the program. Department of Navy involvement in the Air Force light attack experiment was put in stark relief in late June after Navy pilot Lieutenant Christopher Carey Short died following the crash of his A-29 Super Tucano near Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. A mix of air crew with combat experience are flying in the experiment. This mix includes developmental test air crew, operational test air crew, and experienced instructor pilots from combat Air Force. We have Air Force, Navy, and Marine air crews, as well as participation of the Air National Guard and the Air Force Reserve, Air Force spokeswoman Emily Grabowski told USNI News. Interesting. Interesting. So the one more source of one more source of news this morning before we take a break and get the Gunner on. This whole thing in Africa has raised questions about how special operations are supervised. And again, one of the great problems relative to special operation forces is they can do a lot of stuff on their own. And so nobody has any oversight for it. And so that creates problems. All right, so in task and purpose, how to fix special operations, according to a former SOC Africa commander. Notwithstanding the intent of Goldwater Nichols, right? And the article goes on to talk about tension between different communities, turf wars and egos, focused on the counterterrorism mission, SOCOM's transactional relationships, senior leader selection, So all this stuff that goes into these, goes into those relationships. So pretty lengthy article in Task and Purpose on that with suggestions about how to fix it. H.R. McMaster, is heading to Stanford. So, good luck to him. And again, Stanford, that's where the Secretary of Defense was hanging out before he became the Secretary of Defense. So, yeah. And as General Mattis was before him, he will be part of a national security team at the Hoover Institute. Other members of that group at the Hoover Institute are Condoleezza Rice, Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, Ed Meese, William Perry, former SecDef, Richard Allen, Abe Sofer. So you can see that is Mattis was a part of that group as well. Yeah, you're swimming at the deep end of the pool. So H.R. McMaster, no longer part of the administration. And then this story. Headline, scum stole a precious memento of his slain son. It mysteriously came home for July 4th. Every Tuesday, Sean Marceau visits his son's grave in the veterans section of Tahoma Cemetery in Yakima, Washington. As he drove there on his lunch break Tuesday, something caught his eye. I drive up and I see a flag on Joe's grave. He said of the final resting place of his son, Lance Corporal Joe Jackson. Marceau assumed it was just an ordinary American flag someone had left on the grave, but when he picked the flag up, he noticed it was folded oddly. He went and lifted it, and it was folded a little bit. It had a different crease in the fold, he said. So I peeled it back and saw a signature, and my heart dropped. It was the flag stolen from him earlier this year, a flag made all the more precious because it had been signed by Jackson and Marines in his platoon. Jackson 22 was killed on April 22, 2011. In an improvised bomb while conducting combat operations in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. Jackson had the flag over his bed before he went out on his last patrol. In April, the flag and other items were stolen when someone broke into Marceau's truck parked at his home in White Swan, and then, the day before the 4th of July, it lay in front of his son's headstone with no note. There is no rhyme, there is no reason, no nothing, Marceau said. It's just a random act of kindness in this crazy world we live in right now. Somebody finally did something to restore our faith in humanity a little bit. After searching for the flag locally, Marceau posted on Facebook in May, pleading for the public's help. His post was shared more than 108,000 times by users, some as far away as Florida and Maryland. No explanation, it just showed up. Now I'm curious. Who is he with? He was with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. And I say that because that's the time that I was in Afghanistan. Jackson 22 was killed April 22nd, 2011, by an IED. I didn't recognize the name. While conducting combat operations as a member of the 1st Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment, 1st Marine Division, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force from Camp Pendleton. So, again, maybe some thieves do have heart, you know, hard to believe that you're out there stealing that kind of stuff. Why would you steal a flag? You're going to sell it and make money off of? Anyway, how about that? little bit of a silver lining around otherwise dark cloud of a day. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the Gunner will join us. We continue on a day after Independence Day here on All Marine Radio, checking out the news, something we haven't done in a few days, so catching up on that. And then he himself joins us next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.